Maida, tell us about your background, and I'm interested both in your ethnic background and also your background as a librarian.
Well, they actually do go hand in hand. I was born in New Jersey, but my parents are Latvian, and so they raised me speaking Latvian, and I was very involved in the Latvian community, the whole Latvian educational system that we had here in exile. That was before it became diaspora. Yeah. And so I ended up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, because there was a Latvian program here at Western Michigan University. I came here at age 16 and 17 to take the classes myself. And then in 82, I came here to be the house mother at the Latvian Studies Center for the students that were taking Latvian at Western. One of my jobs was to set up the library. There was some books in the professor's basement that were to be moved into the new Latvian Study Center.
I remember that library. It was quite impressive. So you were responsible for setting it up?
Yes.
Wow.
From sort of ground zero. And I realized I knew nothing about librarianship. Used libraries all my life, but was afraid of librarians because I thought they were mean and they knew that I was always late in returning my books. But anyway, so I went, Western had a library school at the time, and I came and took just an original cataloging class, and the light bulb went off and I found my calling.
Yeah, yeah. So well, cataloging in itself is quite something.
Yes, that's only one piece of librarianship. But, you know, and so then I realized that, you know, I had interest in computers way back when, and it's a very technical and organized kind of discipline. Plus, it deals with one of my favorite things, books. You know, I even had a bookstore for a while, but I hated the concept of having to sell people and ask people for money. So as a librarian, I can give out books for free. And so I spent 15 years collecting the largest collection of Latvian books in North America. I traveled all over the place picking up things as people were moving to smaller facilities or passing on. And
so a lot of these were estates, donations, a lot
yes,
of these materials?
It was all donations, you know. So, but then Latvia became independent. And it
1991,
and all of a sudden, all the institutions that the exile community had created, you know, there was a huge earthquake in our community saying, well, what do we still need? And everybody who we used to get as students now went to Latvia. And so
And I remember being Latvian myself, I remember a wave of people packing up their books and sending them overseas to Latvia because there was obviously a gap of what their libraries
right.
contained.
They did not have our publications because the Soviet system was such that didn't allow them. If they had any, they were in these special funds that were under lock and key that very few people could ever get to, and only in the major and a couple of the major libraries. So yes, there was this big need in Latvia. And we started that actually before 91 in the 80s. We started because things with Glasnost started opening up, and we were one of our former students actually opened up a shipping line so that we could ship the books over there, and we sent containers worth of books. So I sent a lot of our duplicates over. I also made sure the National Library and the other big academic Academy of Sciences library had lists of things that they were specifically looking for. And so before I did anything else, I'd always go through my lists and see if there's anything I could fill in holes for them.
Yeah.
But yes, that was a huge undertaking.
Oh, I imagine so. But it's closed now.
Yes. So when the...
You we no longer basically had... emptied your bookshelves.
Well, yes, but that was... The progress was first the program ended because we no longer had students. So for a while, we had kind of a Baltic Studies program because the government provided money to bring students from the Baltic countries to study public administration, you know, economic, different things that they needed. But the Baltic states got on their feet so quickly that that funding ended. So we no longer had the students, so we had to sell the study center. I was given a year to get rid of the collection. And so I went and found that the University of Washington was interested in one of everything that we had, almost. And so we did, a huge job of packing everything that we had. I had 42,000 books come through my hands, you know, because I had those inventory numbers. Yeah. And so we sent 12,000 titles to University of Washington and periodicals, and we found homes for most everything else.
And now you're a reference librarian at Waldo, the library here on Western's campus. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at what point did that start?
Librarians don't move on, you know, they don't switch jobs very often. So I had some part-time library jobs for a while, and then opportunity opened up here at Western, and I started working in a, you know, temporary part-time job, and it became, you know, a reference job. And I now, my main responsibility is for ScholarWorks, the institutional repository.
So I understand that you travel back and forth from Kalamazoo to Latvia on a pretty frequent basis. And correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that you do this in more than one capacity at, you know, your personal interest, also as a librarian, and possibly maybe even in an unofficial ambassador of the Latvian community here in Kalamazoo. And I don't know if people realize about the Latvian community in Kalamazoo. Do you have kind of a small description of what's here in town? Why here?
The why is always a good question. You know, why Kalamazoo? But it was, I mean, you probably know the history better than I do because you've lived here longer than I have. But I understand that there was a minister who sponsored a whole choir and their families. And you know, sort of ironically, my mother and her sister also landed in Kalamazoo as their first place of entry when they came to America. But my aunt was a cosmopolitan kind of lady and dragged mom off to New York City immediately. But there was a very highly cultural community here with that started the first Latvian music magazine, the art magazine, the children's magazine, the literary magazine. These started in Kalamazoo, and two of them actually.
Any idea on the population, the headcount of Latvians
currently,
and how that might have changed over time?
It's changed a lot, and I would hate to, I want to be accurate, and I don't know what the numbers were. There was one total rumor that 10% of the Kalamazoo population was Latvian, which was not true. But
no, I think I remember in my childhood, and I, like many Latvians, I went to Latvian school and Latvian summer school. I believe I heard the number 2,000 back then. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know what it is today.
Well, you know, I have a list of about 300 addresses, but that's outside of, it includes Grand Rapids and Three Rivers and Lansing and places like that. So I think it has. So currently we have the Latvian Church, which is, you know, a solid organization. The Kalamazoo Latvian Association that organizes cultural events. We have a Latvian school. I believe they had around 20 students this year. And then we have the Daugavas Vanagi, the Latvian Relief organization that has done a lot to help people in need.
And then there's the Latvian Center in Three Rivers that we call Gudazets, which I think attracts a lot of Latvians, not just from Kalamazoo, but all over the country, sometimes even from overseas.
Yes,
so
that's a huge, you know, it's active mostly only in the summer months, but it has, you know, a summer high school of over 100 students and children's camps at different levels. And plus, it's just a social gathering place. Yeah. So, and they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary this year.
So back to the librarian aspect of this. So at some point, the Latvian community changed from using this library that you'd established and sending over materials to Latvia. And we talked a little bit about your trips. So I'd like to hear more about the time you've spent in Latvia.
The first time I actually went over with the intent to visit libraries was back in 1987. So I did get to see when it was still a Soviet era kind of institution. And I got to visit the National Library, which was not called that at the time. And it was a state library with a very long name. And then there was Missing, which was a piece of the Academy of Sciences library that was interested in saving the things that were of specifically of Latvian, you know, published by Latvians in Latvian, in Latvia, about Latvians, that kind of thing. And they had one of the oldest collections. And they were very, very Latvian, but it was kind of hush-hush, you know, because they needed to be part of the bigger picture. Then I went there in 90, 91, 93, started to real connections with the libraries there. In 90, I wanted to see libraries, not just the big National and Academy of Sciences libraries, but I wanted to see what the smaller libraries were like. And the Soviets had set up a pretty extensive system where they sent out books to all the libraries around the country. So even the smallest, you know, town and
was it like an interlibrary loan, or these were permanent donations?
Okay, there was a special organization that was responsible. Like every publisher had to send, you know, X hundred of books to this unit that would then distribute them across the country. You know, and there were larger regional libraries, but then every small, you know, town had one. And so now the quality of the books might be under question, but you know, everybody had Lenin's full works, etc., in numerous editions. But still, you know, the books were sent to them. And I think that was the biggest thing that happened when independence came, where no longer could you afford to send out hundreds of books to all the libraries around, and the libraries had to come up with money for themselves. That was a big struggle. And all of a sudden, each unit, like each city, town, had to come up with the money to support their own library. You know, we have a great library here at the Kalamazoo Public Library, but and the Portage District Library, that our citizens support. But that was a new concept to you know, and so it's and now the publishers have to supply like 5 copies, and that's it. You know, they go to the National Library. And
bring us up to where the huge project of the National Library of Latvia in Riga, the capital. How did that begin? Why did it begin? Did you get to see some of that process?
In 93, I had a project of compiling a Baltic library directory. So I traveled around to Lithuania and Estonia also. And I got to see the national libraries there. And Lithuania had a building, a nice massive building that was built in the 60s. Estonia had just opened up their new library that they had gotten funded during the Soviet era. But they had this wonderful, it's wonderful white stone that they've used to build a lot of their churches and stuff in Tallinn. And so they have a wonderful new National Library building. Well, Latvia didn't. They had the National Library was, I think, at one point in something like 11 buildings. And none of
separate,
the,
not in oh, one
oh,
campus.
Oh, yes, separate, okay. All over the city of Riga and even outside of Riga. I think they were down to 6 in the most recent years. None of them were built to be libraries. They were, I know they had one disaster where a floor fell through, and of course the climate control was not correct and stuff like that. So the idea of having a national library building came you know, as soon as Latvia became independent, if not even before. And Gunnar Birkerts, who Gunnars Birkerts in Latvian, who's an architect here from Michigan, he offered to plan a new library building for them. And I knew how his mind worked because we were thinking about an addition to our library at one point, and we actually had a meeting, and the man just is amazing. I mean, he's so conceptual, and, you know, the way he plans things out. So he had this concept taken from Latvian folk tales about a glass mountain on, you know, that
Geismaspils.
Yeah. It's now considered Castle of Light is what the building is called nowadays. And so he had this plan that he provided for free to the country. But then it took just years, decades, to get all the funding in place and to get the you know, he had planned it on the River Daugava, and you needed to buy up all the properties that were there. And
any idea what kind of acreage? And of course, they don't use acres. They have hectare. But how big is this place? Is there some way to convey the...
Oh, dear.
How many floors?
I think it's 13 floors, I believe, the pinnacle. But I think they don't have a 13th floor. So they...
I was going to say,
I think they have some sort of, you know, lower level and you know, and the rest.
Yeah.
And the center core is the collections. And then the areas outside with the windows are for all the for the public spaces, the offices and stuff like that. So... But yes, no, it was painful to watch. You know, they were, you know, hoping to have it open for Riga's 800th birthday in 1201. Well, it opened last summer, you know, and kind of a rollout with in the January of last year, they had they brought the first books over in a chain, you know, so people got in line.
I remember reading about that.
And,
fantastic.
And so, and they didn't get that many books across because everybody stopped to look at them. They were so fascinated by, even though it was freezing cold that day, but you know.
So imagine this chain of people across a bridge. Because Riga actually has like two sides with this huge river Daugava in the middle. And people lined up shoulder to shoulder.
Passing
one book from person to person to person. Wow.
Yes. So, and I think they are all very, very proud of it and excited by it. There was, because it took so long and it did cost a lot of money, people started saying, well, why do we even need this? And I remember I had a sabbatical in 2012 when I spent 3 months there. So I got to talk to a lot of people. And whenever somebody started complaining about it, I said, no, you need this.
Yeah.
You know, it might not, I think it's the ideal, you know, you might not agree with the architectural plan and how it's done, but you need it badly. I mean, the way it was just I was almost embarrassed to tell people where the national treasures were located in Latvia. And now they have a wonderful, wonderful home. It's very active. They've had many, many hundreds of thousands of people have come through.
So is it a circulating library? Can a Latvian citizen simply walk in with a library card and say, I want to check something out? Or is it like a Library of Congress where it's more a reference library? How does it work?
You know, I have to think about it. If I want to check something out, I got a library card. I think they do check out books, yes. Because I remember having one, I checked out a book before then, you know, mostly people use it as a reference. A lot of it is reference, but yes, no, it is a circulating library. It is used highly by students, you know, and it's again, the whole movement in libraries in general to more user-friendly spaces.
Is there something more than books and periodicals? What you said, national treasures. Are there other things like maps or photography or newspapers?
They have all of it. See, that's what was in those separate buildings. You know, like there was a music collection that had, you know, sound recordings and as well as sheet music. So they have those. They have a lot of manuscripts and archival materials. Maybe not so much art, but, you know, pretty much everything else. And they have great places for to display things. They have a children's collection. Part of their building was being used by the European Union Parliament for 6 months, you know, so that was all kind of restricted. But they have a nice cafeteria there. And
The last time I was in Latvia was in 2010. And I remember looking at the building and it was beautiful, especially at night, you know. But I'd look forward to maybe an opportunity to walk inside. And
yes,
because libraries are special places.
They are.
So what are the challenges? Did you have an opportunity to talk to librarians there, maybe in your last visit, maybe in previous visits? What kind of challenges cataloging, moving from Soviet to post-Soviet eras, are they the same kind of challenges you might have at Waldo Library, or is there something else?
Oh, it's the same challenges. You know, there's always budget crunches and there's the dealing with the technology, you know, constantly keeping up with the changes, and so many of the things, you know, need to be available to people in digital form. One of my recent interests is web archiving. I mean, we do not have the university website archived, and we're looking into that. And, you know, how do you archive something that has so many formats in it and that's changing constantly? Yeah. So I sat down with the web archivist in the National Library and saw how she does her job and how a lot of what they've been able to do has been supported by the European Union. They have gotten a lot of funding. For instance, the Gates Foundation and Soros have been very, very instrumental in providing internet access, you know, so those country libraries all have internet access. So yeah. People can, a lot of younger people are moving out to Ireland or elsewhere in the world. So mom or grandma can go to the local library and Skype with their families, you know. So
I was going to ask too, access through the web where, say, a Latvian living here in Kalamazoo might be able to do some kind of research of materials that are located in the National Library in Riga?
Yes. Well, there's the, they have various catalogs and databases that they have created that we can look up from here. I mean, that was what my sabbatical was about, but I haven't quite pulled it all together. I wanted to create a Baltic research handbook that would help people here understand how to use the materials and what's available, not only in Latvia, but also in Estonia and Lithuania. But then connecting it all to what they have digitized, I mean, that's all, it's still a big work in process.
Oh, yeah. Ongoing. So are you planning another trip soon?
Well, when I can afford it. you know, the last one was mostly to attend a conference because it was the 100th anniversary of Benjamin Schiegers, who was our big bibliographer. He compiled a 5-volume bibliography of everything that was published by Latvians outside of Latvia during exile. And then he kind of had a nice, well, Latvia gained its independence in 91, so he was done, you know, with 91. Yeah. That was,
And how did that celebration look?
It was various speakers spoke about his work, and the thing was, he was kind of a mysterious, not very many people had met him, and the fact that he had come to the Latvian Studies Center Library to look at our materials to see what he could use for his bibliography, and he even stayed at my house. I had met him more than many, many other people. And so that's why I got invited as a person who had actually met him. And since this happened 30 years ago, which, you know, my memory isn't that great, then I was glad that I had letters that we had written back and forth to help me remember our, you know, what we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Maida. If there is anything you want to add that we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. I mean, I could talk about this forever, yeah. But I think I'm glad that you invited me to share this.
Oh, my pleasure. From one bookworm to another. I've worked in libraries many, many years, if not a primary job, as a secondary job. One of my first jobs, first time I worked in a library, I was in third grade.
Really?
And I had gotten in trouble. I couldn't go to recess. So they sent me to the library to help the librarian. I didn't want to go to recess after that. I loved it. That was my heaven place. So I understand a love of libraries, and they certainly are a cultural heart for any country, any nation. So thank you for letting us travel with you a little bit.
Well, thank you for having me.